back with another live episode of AW360 from the ground floor of Advertising Week New York 2024, 20th anniversary of Advertising Week New York. It's Tuesday. It's the 8th. And I'm here with Liz Ray, Vice President of Marketing at Outfront. Liz, how
are
you doing?
Great. How are you? Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I mean, you know.
20 years.
I've made it 12.
All right.
I've made it 12. They've made it 20. I'm only 12. But, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it where I can get it. So you're Vice President of Marketing at Outfront. Tell us a little bit, you know, what's Outfront up to these days?
Well, Outfront, for the listeners who don't know, is one of the largest out-of-home companies in America. So we have an easy way for brands to connect with audiences on the go. In fact, across different canvases, whether that be billboards, subway, bus, and it's an easy way to communicate their message to actually 7 out of 10 Americans each and every week. Outfront is always changing. You know, the media landscape is constantly changing, and I like to think that out-of-home is keeping up with everybody else and providing real value for advertisers.
And how does out-of-home now fit into the broader plan alongside other mediums? Say, you know, you have a campaign. Where does out-of-home fit within that?
Yeah, so out-of-home, I like to think, is definitely one of the friendliest kids in the sand, plays well with other media, definitely adding efficiency, reach, and frequency across the board. Its strongest partner by far is digital, which is great for this landscape because obviously digital is the hot thing. For several years now, we like to think of out-of-home as the best primer for all things digital, including search, social, and mobile. In fact, it's outperforming every other advertising channel in driving 8 forms of digital activation. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about a social out of home. That's something that's come up a little bit recently that I keep seeing and hearing about. I'm trying to wrap my head around what that means from the Outfront perspective. What is social out of home?
Well, I love that you heard it because we coined that term about 2 years ago to really describe the phenomenon that a smart advertisement placed on out of home does in driving social virality. I think this stat is kind of crazy that 1 in 4 Americans have actually posted an out-of-home ad to Instagram. And that's not just me who works for an out-of-home company, but actually 25% of the country. And it, when you first hear that, it's unbelievable. But if you think about Instagram and you think about stories and the fact that, you know, they're only around for 24 hours, they're not attached to your personal brand. If you see a smart advertisement out there and you think that you can make your community, your friends laugh for a moment, why not snap a photo and take a picture of it? So we developed that term really just to encompass that phenomenon, and it happens each and every day.
Do you have any examples you can talk about?
Yes. So what I love about social out of home, it's definitely not something that, you know, is happening where we have to reference examples from, you know, the fall or the summer. It's really happening every moment. And just on Friday, Charlie XCX, I'm way too old to, you know, love her, but she had a great album over the summer. Brat, so great that she's doing a remix album for Brat, and the way that she and Atlantic Records are announcing the collabs that she's doing with other artists, I think is super interesting. So on Friday night in Boca, there was a fan who in the middle of the night snapped a picture of a board that said Ariana Grande backwards and in lime green font, which I later learned is the color of that album cover, and shared it to his TikTok, and the internet completely blew up, announcing that, again, Ariana Grande would be one of the collab artists and launching that in her hometown. So a nice proximity and hometown fame there. And Charlie XCX herself said the internet would go crazy, and that's exactly what happened. Within 10 hours from that first TikTok post from the fan in the middle of the night, we had Rolling Stones actually produce a reel of all the different out-of-home announcing all the other artists that would be featured on that album and doing an article, obviously, coming on Monday. So just another great example of how one board, if you tap into that like cult following and all that, is super relevant, and taking advantage of the location can really go viral on social.
Any others?
Yes. So I know you're from Seattle, so you might not be a Met fan, but
no. But continue.
But you know, we're here in New York, and there's two teams, and the underdog is usually the Mets. But the Mets over the summer, they Grimace, who is the mascot of McDonald's, threw one of the first pitches, and after that, they went on a seven-game winning streak. So they coined Grimace as their good luck charm, even during during Fan Appreciation Week, they put a purple seat in the stadium just for Gribbis. So the Mets are currently tied with the Phillies 1-1 in the series for the playoffs. So they're bringing Gribbis back. They need all the good luck that they can get. So Gribbis is actually going to be riding the 7 train all decked out in the decals of himself and headed up to the game today. And earlier, you know, this summer after the initial pitch, they took over the biggest digital billboard in Times Square, which happens to be over the McDonald's location, and said it wasn't luck, it wasn't fate, it was Gribbis. So it's cool to see how the fandom can extend beyond the stadium. And actually, we spoke with the CMO of the Mets last advertising week, last year, and he said just that, like the extension of the game and that community really does transcend onto the subway if you're packed in with all the Mets fans riding up to the game at Citi Field. So I hope somebody gets surprised and delight to see Gribbis there. And again, for my husband's a diehard Met fan, so for my marriage and the sanity for the next few weeks, I hope that they've won the game.
Well, as a diehard Gribbis fan myself since childhood, and, you know, we did have once upon a time, a team member here at Advertising Week who is a lifelong Phillies fan.
Yeah.
We like to dunk on him anyway, so go Mets.
All right,
go
Mets.
That's the important part right there. So all of this it feels like it would be very appealing to millennials and Gen Zers. Does that make out-of-home particularly valuable to them, do you think?
Yes, I think as brands, we're always trying to reach the next generation and the younger generation. As a millennial myself, I don't know if I can call myself young anymore. We are aging quickly. But out of home is definitely ranks the highest in terms of likability and trustworthiness amongst all demos, but especially the younger ones. So if you think about millennials, digital has been a part of our lives since we got that first email after college to log on to Facebook.
Right.
And then for Gen Z, you know, it's been a part of their lives since birth. And I think out of home, the tangible nature of it, the fact that it's a break from digital really does provide that breakthrough, the digital noise first and foremost, but then also provide that extra layer of trust that I think we're all looking for in this crazy climate. I think, you know, they perceive out of home as real, and the fact that no one would spend real hard money on, you know, an advertisement if it weren't true, if it's in the real world.
Yeah, Outfront is doing a Hispanic Heritage Month campaign honoring Latinos in fashion with Women's Wear Daily. What is it about fashion that makes it strong with out of home?
Yes, we're very proud of our partnership with Women's Wear Daily. It's going on until October 15th, so you might see some of the Hispanic designers that we're spotlighting across the country, especially in Times Square. But overall, we've seen a huge uptick in fashion brands, many of which are luxury spending on out of home. We even like to think of out of home as maybe the new pages of Vanity Fair or Vogue with the number of brands that are currently running on our media. But I think what's appealing to fashion brands, especially is about out of home, is threefold. First and foremost, these are huge visual canvases. They have high impact. Like, for example, our walls in Miami are just huge, ginormous canvases. And if you think about the beautiful photos, the editorial content that these fashion brands, especially luxury, produce, when they hit the streets, it really is like artwork. It really just, you know, is something to look at, something beautiful. And that is great for, in real life, the people who pass it, but it also provides an opportunity for them to shoot that footage and share it other places, whether that be on social or digital. And obviously with fashion, there's usually influencers involved, so it provides that perfect backdrop for them to shoot that content and maybe see a little bit more different than other things that you see from influencers on social. Second is out of home strategically leaning into drop culture. So drop culture is super important, especially for the up-and-coming fashion brands like Siegelman Stable, which is a New York brand that we're speaking to in just an hour from now here at New York Advertising Week. But similar to Atlantic Records, you know, it provides that little extra surprise and delight to fans when they integrate the out-of-home around a big collab or a drop. And the third is leaning into some of the legacy values of out-of-home. At its heart, it is still a location-based medium. and brands often still strategically choose out of home in close proximity to the stores that they want to drive traffic into. So one such example is with Amika, which is the number one hair brand in Sephora. They took over two Subway stations just a few weeks ago that were near the Sephora locations, and when they looked at their sales for those two flagship stores in New York, they were about 20 points higher than the national average. So I think, again, just the visual nature of it, the fact that it integrates into drop culture, and the location base in terms of driving search and sales.
We've noticed a lot of QR codes on billboards and transit signs, and I'm going to be the first to admit that I wasn't a big proponent of QR codes early on. I thought that was going to be something that kind of came and went.
Yes.
And it felt like it did for a while. Like, that didn't stick. And now they're everywhere.
Yes.
In terms of the value for out of home, what is it? I mean, it's here to stay, obviously, and they're like everywhere I go.
Yeah. QR codes are definitely those overnight successes, in the fact that it took them like 20 years to actually become an overnight success. And when that happened was really, it's one of the silver linings of the pandemic for the advertising industry, that finally that barrier for people to scan a QR code is finally gone. Without a home, you know, it's in real life, and that's, you know, one of its huge values. One of the disadvantages is it doesn't have last click attribution. It's not directly on your phone. So this is providing an easy way for brands to take consumers along that journey and take them to the next step that they want to happen. So we see that, you know, on anything that's street level media where there's an opportunity for somebody to scan easily, brands are integrating that to take them to a website, to take them to a coupon code. We do think that, and the data backs this up, that you need to have some type of value add for someone to still take out their phone and scan it. So QR codes are here to stay. They're definitely great in terms of taking people down that path. But I think something that Outfront's doing that's even more interesting is something called QRAD, which is actually a content control capability. So that's that exact same QR code that you can scan, same user experience, but instead what happens is the creative in front of you changes, whether on that screen that you're standing in front of or across the entire subway station. So tying it back to fashion, I still think that there's an untapped opportunity for this industry. So hopefully there's some fashion brands listening in, because this is my big idea. Here it is. You know, they're pressing. The challenge of that industry is to be so inclusive, and you know, that's hard. It's because you have one canvas to show one person. How can you make everybody happy if you can only show one model? But imagine if you see an awesome outfit and you're able to scan that QR code and change the creative in front of you to a model that more represents yourself, whether that be hair color, skin tone, body type. So could I go down to the subway station, scan it, and then make all of the screens in the subway change to a red head with very fair skin, so that I could see what that outfit looks like, and then in that same interaction, now that I've seen what it looks like on me, be able to buy each piece in my size, check out while waiting for the train. I think that it's definitely an untapped value that solves, I think, what's a really hard challenge for beauty and fashion brands to be so inclusive. You know, it takes one canvas and turns it into many, and definitely relates more to the person in front of it.
My next question was going to be around, you know, we're at Advertising Week.
Yeah.
The idea here is we're, you know, half of us are here to network. The other half are looking for what's next, what's going to be innovative. I'm not sure anything I'm going to see or hear about is going to top what you just said. That was pretty amazing. I think that's a fantastic idea. But what's the second most innovative thing you may see at Advertising Week?
Well, Advertising Week, so over the summer, I had a baby girl, Phoebe.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's all I want to know. But when I think about Phoebe and two things. Like, I loved the trailer that Advertising Week put out, the going back with all the nostalgia of the dial-up tone and that Windows 95 screensaver bouncing around. I love that. And then when I think about Phoebe and how media will be so different for her, you know, I think it's important to absorb, obviously everybody's still talking about AI and its implications, absorb that stuff, see how it's going to affect brands and affects the industry. But I do hope that, you know, in the next 20 years, the things that still reign true and the things that I'm most interested in seeing this week is the brand storytelling, popping open the hood and seeing why brands chose the media that they did, why, how they're leveraging the new technology to really tell a genuine story. Because the only thing that's ever going to break through is that genuine story to a consumer. Now more than ever, I think we're more alert to what's fake and what's real out there. So hopefully that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to see, you know, why brands did what they did and how it succeeded for them.
Oh, totally. Well, I want to tell you, I appreciate you being, you know, taking the time to be on the show today. If someone wanted to find more about Outfront and what you're doing there,
yeah.
You know, I can't imagine they haven't already been to your website, but if they haven't, where would they go?
Oh, it's very difficult. It's outfront.com.
Is there a QR code?
There is, but I can't share it right here.
Right, that's true. Podcast, forgot. Sorry.
All right.
My bad.
Next time, maybe. Maybe next year. Next year.
That's the new technology we're going to have in audio QR code.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate
you
taking the time.
Thank you.